We're going to start the tape, and we now have more people.
Sorry.
We took a brief intermission.
And our presenter is here.
Presenter is here.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if we do roll again or just roll with the presenter.
Roll with the original roll?
Let's not do roll again.
Okay, I'll start it off. I think.
Did you push record?
I push, yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Is the thing moving?
The lights on.
It's perfect. Hey, Ann, look out for your glasses.
Okay, so roll take two.
You can move this back to the projector, else all your ears.
Okay, so Frank DeFilippis, task force member.
Mark Salem's counselor.
We are doing roll again?
Yeah. Apparently.
I've heard this before.
David Allen is right behind the counselor.
Yeah, just
Allen.
Here is an observer.
Pete Lawson, task force.
Ann Siglio, task force.
Sarah Henkel, OSU.
Jim Fuller, task force.
Sharon Canero, GP.
Charlie Plavin, Surf Rider Foundation.
Carl Schumacher, Georgia Pacific.
Scott Appel, OSU.
Joe Hewitt, task force.
Okay, so I think we would go ahead and discuss the revised findings of the study, and then was it your intent to review the overall package again?
So, yes. So I have updated the presentation to include the new data and your recommendations and feedback from the last time as to how to make it a little more user-friendly.
Okay.
So we can go through that.
So for time management, would 30 minutes of that and 30 minutes of Q&A be appropriate or sufficient?
Sure. Sure. And so then something else that I did, which I only made 8 copies of, rather than give you a full updated 80-page document, I thought I would give you a printout of the updated executive summary and then the updated tables, and we can get some feedback on if you like the new style, because there were some comments that we got back from the first submitted draft. And so we can go over those as well. So do you want a presentation first, or do you want to talk about these pieces
let's
of paper
do the
first?
Presentation
yeah, let's
first.
Do the presentation.
Okay. So then the other thing that will come up in the presentation is if anyone reviewed the scallop update I sent out, one of the questions was about benzoic acid, and Carl brought this up.
Right. Okay.
And so that was a question I had for Physis, the company, because I also noted the same thing. Mm-hmm. Benzoic acid is frequently found in shellfish, often found in shellfish around Puget Sound. Every report from the Port of Seattle has benzoic acid in shellfish. And so my question was, how come this is really the first time you've given us a detect? It was in the batch of samples from the mixing zone. It wasn't in the batch of samples from Seal Rock, and it wasn't in any of the other shellfish that we had collected. And I wanted to get an answer from them before I gave you the data, and I didn't. Then I emailed them again, and then I called them, and I finally got an answer. And so they have benzoic acid on their list of analytes, and they typically measure it in wastewater itself. So the way that they measure it is the method for wastewater. They don't typically measure it for tissues. And in the case of tissues, I'm going to read this directly from Rich Gossett. It says, we do see one of the primary ions for benzoic acid. However, we're unable to confirm its presence using any of the other mass fragments from benzoic acid because they are small and the number of interfering compounds with those same masses is large and mask our ability to confirm it. The one set of results that were reported as benzoic acid should be corrected to non-detects. because we are not able to actually confirm that it is benzoic acid. Therefore, when it comes to this compound, I choose to be very conservative and do not report it unless I'm absolutely sure and all the ions are present in the correct ratios. Okay. So they would like to consider the benzoic acid detection in that one set of samples as a non-detect, as in all of the other shellfish samples that they
used. And from what I understand, benzoic acid is not really a compound of concern.
It's not a priority pollutant.
No. So, and not only did I want to get an answer from them before I gave the data to you, I wanted to get an answer from them before I did a bunch of research and took a whole day out of my time. But I did take a whole day out of my time. And it is used as an anti-fouling agent in the manufacture of plastics, as a food, cosmetic, drug preservative, tobacco processing, and a dye enhancer. It's commonly detected in wastewater treatment plant sludge and effluent. There's no toxicity reference value and is on the FDA list of substances that are generally recognized as safe. So I think we're done with that. So with that, I will show you a presentation that does not include
the predictor is not on.
Yeah.
Let's cover.
Yeah.
And so the flashing one, should I push?
Does it automatically find its song, or do we have to...
My computer has detected that it is hooked up to a different screen, so it should be talking.
There might be one up here.
Oh.
I'm not sure.
There it is.
Perfect. Yeah.
Those maps are smart.
We need to dim the lights.
Oh, you want the lights? Thank you.
Going better?
That's perfect. That's good.
Projector's warming up. Pictures, you know what these, you know what a dungeon scrap looks like. Okay, so much of this is the same. And so, Georgia Pacific discharges treated wastewater through an ocean outfall at Knight Beach, also close to the Newport Wastewater Treatment Plant in Knight Creek. In 2010, water and sediment chemistry and benthic infaunal population surveys were conducted by CH2M Health. So in that study, they looked at metals in the sediment, in the water at the mixing zone, in the water from the effluent from GP. They looked at it in the wastewater treatment plant effluent. They looked at the discharge from Dye Creek. And then they did surveys of the animals that live in the sediment to see if there were different communities living in the mixing zone versus reference locations. Water quality samples showed minute traces of 11 metals, all below DEQ levels of concern. Right at the mouth of the effluent was concentrations reaching one-third of a level of concern, so still well below. In the sediment, the levels of phenolics and 11 metals were well below the screening criteria, and the benthic infaunal community did not differ from the reference site. The goals of this study were to determine if there's bioaccumulation of effluent-borne pollutants potentially in animals collected from the mixing zone relative to reference areas. If bioaccumulation is observed, provide a plan for assessing the risk to ecosystem and public health, and then to provide the city with the data. We define bioaccumulation as the accumulation of chemicals in the tissues of organisms through any route. So we collected a wide variety of study organisms, some of those which were originally proposed, and we made some modifications. And so from the subtitle, we collected Dungeness crab, Krangon shrimp, speckled sand dabs, and rock scallops. And we had to collect rock scallops to replace the proposed mussel collection because we were not able to find enough subtitle mussels. We proposed to collect mussels and razor clams from the beaches. However, it was bad razor clam year, so we went with olive snails. The offshore locations included the North Yaquina reference area, so each of those triangles is a place where we either did a trawl for shrimp and fish or put crab pots. The mixing zone was broken into three places. The mix, Mixing Zone, North Mixing Zone, and South Mixing Zone. For subtitle species, we had a South Beach reference area, and then for the subtitle scallops, we had to go down to Seal Rock to find some rocks to get them from.
Are you going to update this slide with the locations of the scallops? Or?
I have it on the scallop slide.
Okay.
So the locations of the scallops that were collected from the North Mixing Zone and from Seal Rock. So onshore, the north reference area was Moolock Beach. Onshore, we had Nye Beach, Nye Beach North, and Nye Beach South. The mussels technically came from Nye Beach North because the rocks were at the north end of the beach. And then our south reference areas were Lost Creek for the snails, Sandy Beach, and Seal Rock for the scallops. So Dungeness crabs were collected in pots. In this, these were collected with trawl. Rock scallops, there's a picture of Scott. He's got a fish in his hand because there were no pictures of him collecting scallops, but there's a scallop. So here's the updated scallop locations. So in the north end of the mixing area and then off of Seal Rock. So here's where I did an update. So before I just had this slide, which is meaningless to most people, including myself. I don't really know what it means to extract with methylene chloride. But
I do.
So I left it in there because there are people who appreciate that.
No, I don't. It smells awful.
Shouldn't breathe that stuff.
So see, these are some. This is a series of the new slides I made. So what are they, and why do we worry about them?
Okay.
So PCBs are a family of man-made organic couple chemicals. They're used in hundreds of applications, but they were banned in 1979 because they don't break down. They can accumulate in plants and animals, and they're demonstrated to cause cancer and lots of other bad things. Phenols, components of also many things, but also naturally produced by plants and microorganisms. They can generate free radicals, which can promote mutagenesis and carcinogenesis. Maybe I should just say cancer.
No, I don't. The complex is good.
And then PBDs are often used as a flame retardant in almost everything. It can affect fertility, development of the nervous system, brain, and can result in thyroid hormone disruption. So those are some of the new slides. And then basically put some emphasis in here to make it point out that toxicity reference values are to the animal, that not what's eating the animal. they're based on the study of laboratory animals, which is often a surrogate species, tissue-based, and that we compiled them from these two major databases. This you've seen before. So first we asked, was an analyte detected? Then we asked, did it either exceed a TRV, or to be ultra conservative, if we couldn't find a TRV in the literature, we still kept it for further analysis, just to be super conservative. And then we looked to see if there were differences among sites, and if all the sites had the same levels, then we didn't take it further because we think it couldn't be attributed to any one source if animals from everywhere had all the same values. Then we said, was a mixing zone or Nye Beach site greater than any reference site? So were any of the north, middle, or south mixing zone sites greater than any of the reference sites? And then finally we asked, were the highest concentrations found either in the mixing zone or in Nye Beach? So rather than, before I had a black and white table that had lots of NDs in it, non-detects, and that's not that interesting. So here we go. Mussels, we didn't detect any phenolics or PBDs. Olive snails, none detected. Crayon shrimp, none detected. Sparkle sand dab, none detected. Rock scallops, none detected. Dungeness crab, none detected. So, okay, we're done. No phenolics, no PBDs in any of the organisms. How about organic compounds? Midalis, none. Olive snails, none. Krangon, none. Speckled sand dab, none. Rock scallops, now that we got the benzoic acid thing figured out, none. Dungeness crab, we had 9 PCB congeners and 7 pesticide derivatives. So if we look at those more closely, 7 of the congeners were detected in just one south mixing zone sample at 10,000 times less than the TRV. And 2 were detected in one North Yukona reference sample. Again, it's super low concentrations, so we're not going to take those any further. And then the pesticide derivatives, 4 derivatives were detected in a single mixing zone sample. A different one was detected in one north mixing zone. 1 was detected in one south beach reference and 1 mixing zone sample. And then 1 was detected in 20 samples out of the 25 with no, there was like 1 sample from each site that didn't have it, so no pattern. And then again, that was, it's a derivative of DDT, and it was still 100 times less than the toxicity reference value for a shellfish. So that's all there is to say about organics. Occasionally detected, extremely low concentrations when detected. Everyone happy?
Pretty straightforward.
Good. So then we're going to talk about metals. And so basically on the left are the steps of the screening process. So we detected 19 metals in Dungeness crab. We detected 7 that exceeded a published toxicity reference value and 6, the ones in parentheses, that don't have a TRV for comparison. Only 1 of those 13 showed differences among sites, and that was vanadium. The mixing zone, instead of writing, I need to move this arrow to the other way. The mixing zone was greater than the North Yukona reference, but the South Beach reference was higher.
You had listed?
Yeah, okay. That's what I just, okay. I had it in words, and then last night I was like, I'm going to shorten this with greater than or less than signs, shortened it the wrong way. So let me make a note to myself.
So Sarah, it's an MZ, okay, NYR. Can you just go through your acronyms again real quick?
Yeah, so MZ is mixing zone. Yeah, so you want just like a maybe a key.
What's
at the
NYR?
Bottom. North Yukona reference.
Okay, got it.
And then South Beach reference.
Okay.
I would spell those out.
Just go ahead.
Yeah. It's I think that takes a little while to pick up.
Yeah, probably.
And it's pretty easy to see if you have reference area on there. It doesn't really need to be that.
Yeah, and it could just be north or NREF or SREF.
Reference areas.
Yeah.
And that last bullet is only referencing the vanadium?
Yes, for vanadium, because that was the only metal that showed a difference among sites. All the other 12 did not. So then, and this is something I'd like feedback on. I showed it to you last time. For each of the metals that there was a difference, I made a little blurb about it. But I don't know if that is sort of gives it more weight than it deserves, because it wasn't necessarily, we don't have evidence that it's associated with GP, because the place where it's highest is off of South Beach. And so.
Yes, I just thought about this just now, but you know, there's no reason why you couldn't put it, well, what is it, why we care about it, slide, just like you have for the organics and things like that, if it was worth putting in.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what this blue box is what is it? Yeah. And
but in the same format, so those ones might be appropriately. Right.
I think that would be good for the audience.
It answers questions that people don't have to ask, so I'd rather take it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's just
right. You say stomach cramps were reported in the study of people taking 13 milligrams of vanadium a day. And at the highest level of vanadium we detected in Dungeness crabs, you would have to eat X amount of crabs to achieve to get this much vanadium.
Every day.
And the number would be like, you know, 3 times.
Yeah, so basically, if this goes up here and then we say stomach cramps were reported in a study of people taking 13 milligrams a day, and then the next slide is the graph, and that shows in micrograms, so that's 1,000 less.
But put it in words in your description.
In terms of number of crabs or weight of crab to get that dose.
The public would really relate to that.
So, sir, I know I'm not part of the task force, but I'm just thinking at the council level, you know, and I think Mark would agree, you know, your presentation is not just going to be for the task force members, or but for the council and the general public, if we put it in terms in which they can relate to really quickly and directly, that makes things so much easier.
Yeah.
And you can also say at $25 a pound.
This is like something I would like to have some sort of a piece like this that could live like on our website kind of forever that I can quote people to that have inquiries, because this has been
on and on.
10 years now, and it'd be really good to have some.
And the other thing that we can do
sink your teeth into this is 10 years worth.
If there's a website, so the ATSDR makes these like one pagers about everything. So like you could hyperlink to those from the website. The public like wants more information, because that's basically where all my information comes from, is the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry.
Right, but I think Charlie's idea for a website is something that's really accessible.
Yeah, because I mean, at this point, we have, you know, the CH2MHIL study, we have, you know, this study, and then we have a fair amount of things that we can sort of publish for the public point too.
Pete, just a rough number would be about 26 kilograms a day of crab.
About 50 pounds. Go for it.
55.
You got to put that in pounds.
You'd have another
stomach
crab.
That's a whole crab.
How much would that cost?
That's the other problem.
So, Sarah, similar to what David was saying, of course, everyone in this room understands, but I was noticing at the front end, just before you did the nice swoosh of the process we used, maybe a little more for the general public on just exactly what does TRB mean. Why is it important to use it as a measurement, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I rushed through that slide since you guys
but they won't.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing, Sarah, is the news media, which will be reporting to the public, is going to be relying on you a lot to give them the information they need to report to the public when they do their write-up. So anything you can do to help them will help the public as well. Mm-hmm. So I kind of look at it that way.
Does the city have somebody who prepares press releases and that kind of
right
thing?
Here? Well, speaking of,
what are you doing when you're on the plane tonight?
I was actually going to ask about that, because the other option is to go through press release.
We can have OSU do it.
To write a press release as well.
Right.
But only if that's something that the task force of the council
specialists.
But we have people that specialize in
training. Presenting scientific information.
We could try to run it through that way. Maybe that would be a way to go.
Yeah. Well, Mark Floyd's been super interested.
Talk to Mark Floyd about
every time he comes, he's like, when can I write something about your city project?
I've had him do several things for me. It's always been really good.
That would be great.
And, you know, I mean, you obviously know Sarah, and I mean, everyone in the room, but you know, six years ago at least, I remember when the council chambers, Charlie, were full with people, and people, you know, obviously the issue hasn't been at the forefront, but I think when this report comes out, the people that were interested then will be interested again, and the more user-friendly you can make it, the better off, as you know, we'll all be, and I think that's really what we're trying to kind of strive for at this point.
So the way that this graph and all the following graphs work is we've got the five sites from north to south. So the mixing zone here is the site that's closest to the outfall pipe. And so this is the average or mean concentration in the animals collected from that site. And so this is the standard error. And the bar on here is what the conservative TRV is for, the conservative toxicity reference value for the amounts of tissue in a shore crab where you don't see any effect on mortality of that shore crab. So it's the most conservative measure. At that point, you don't see any effects on mortality. And you can see that everything is well below, and really the average of everything is well below. The only reason it even made it this far in the screening process is because one sample from the South Beach reference exceeded that, which you can see here by the error bar, but even on average, right. South Beach was way below it.
One out of how many samples?
Out of five composite samples, and each composite sample is made of 10 crabs.
Okay.
So you might need to be prepared to answer the question about what does that error bar mean.
Yeah,
so.
If you have a slide explaining your TRVs for shore crab, why that's used instead of poisonous crab?
So on the TRV slide, I say that it's based on laboratory studies, which is usually of a surrogate organism.
Okay.
So. But they can be reminded on each slide.
Yeah, I just think people will be like, wait, why is it shore crab?
I don't think so.
Yeah, maybe not. So basically, that's the story for crabs. That's the only metal that showed differences among sites, and it was still highest at South Beach reference. So for the Crayon shrimp, 20, 3, and 4 metals out of those 7 showed differences among the sites. So then we ask, were samples from the mixing zone higher? And here, for 2 metals, vanadium and zinc, the mixing zone was higher than the north reference, but again, the south reference showed the highest values.
So that's the same pattern that you saw in the crab, right?
Yes, that the South Beach reference was
the highest. Consistent in that and the aquatic community survey that CHC included.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little freaky because that's where I like surf.
I know it's freaky for you.
Well, that explains a lot.
So
I'm more worried about South Beach than I am about Atlanta.
We've already learned about vanadium, so here's some facts about zinc. Zinc, you actually need zinc. Harmful effects begin at levels that are 10 to 15 times higher than the amount needed for good health. And human health regulations only include limits for exposure in drinking water and workplace air. So there's no regulations about based on consumption. And here, what you can see on this graph is there's 2 lines on it. So the black line is the conservative TRV, like I've talked about before, and the red line represents a less conservative TRV. The conservative one is where you see no effects in a whole body load, and then a less conservative measure is how much do you have to have in your, just the gut. So not distributed out through whole body, but if you just look in the gut of the shrimp, how much do you have before you don't see an effect. You can see that while many of the south, probably all of the south reference samples and a few of the mixing zone samples exceeded the conservative one, they did not exceed the more acute measure. But again, South Beach reference highest. And then the other one where we saw site differences was with the zinc, where 2 of the reason it made it this far is because 2 of the sites within the mixing zone were higher than 1 of the reference sites, but again, the South Beach reference was the highest.
Right, but there's hardly any difference among, are those differences among sites, you know, barely significant?
Yeah, they're barely significant. Again, one that just eked through the screening process, and I would say. So finally, the subtitle fish, 19 metals, 5 exceeded, 3 had no reference, 4 had differences among sites. Only tin had a mixing zone site higher than South Beach reference, but in this case, the North Yucuna reference had the highest. So here's a little bit about tin. FDA regulates use of organic tin compounds in coatings and plastic food packaging, but has not set consumption limits. And so you can see here, tin is extremely variable. So not at all detected in the north mixing zone, second highest in the mixing zone, but very high, large error bars. So lots of variability within the mixing zone. And the North Carolina reference on average was the highest, but an extreme amount of variability. So definitely no pattern to speak of in terms of 10. So finally, we get to something new, the rock scallops. We detected 19 metals. 2 had TRVs, 7 didn't. Actually, 5 of these showed differences among the sites. Aluminum and barium were higher from the mixing zone than the single reference site that we collected them at. A little bit about aluminum and barium. And so, again, what you see here is another case of something eking through the screening process. I need to put the species for this.
Species.
Well, the surrogate that it was based on. So a single one of the samples from the mixing zone exceeded the TRV. So the whole thing made it through the screening process.
It looks lower.
That's the...
Because it's standard error. No, that's standard deviation. But...
Okay.
Yeah. But a single sample.
It's not showing the max and min.
Right. No, yeah. It's not showing the max and min. It's showing the standard deviation. So yes, one. And it was like... So actually, they run them twice, and one of the runs, it exceeded the TRV, and the second run, it didn't. I mean, it was like, the TRV is 0.6, for aluminum, it's 31, and one time it was like 33, and the other time it was like 29, and so it's like, I mean, it just, again, barely made it through the screening process. And then with barium, there is no toxicity reference value, but samples from the mixing zone. In intertidal animals, again, I'm going to have to highlight that the GP wastewater effluent is pretty far offshore, and we collected these from the beach, and so there's lots of potentially confounding sources of contamination. So in the mussels, we detected 19. 4 exceeded TRVs, 5 had no TRV for comparison. These 6 showed differences among sites, but only arsenic showed the highest concentrations in the mussels from Nye Beach as compared to reference locations. And here's one where I could do a how many mussels you'd have to eat. So
I did have a question back on the rock scallops. You didn't have the call out for the high readings. Is it appropriate or
for the what?
The call out box like this.
Oh, I did.
Yes, I missed it.
There
you
did. There
okay,
it is.
Sorry. Never mind. I'll wake up.
Okay. Okay, so how many mussels would you have to eat?
That's always a good.
Okay.
That's good. Baseline for the public to.
What is it? My
figure out what's going to fill this.
It's my intelligence.
Middleus. That's its species name. Its genus.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody knows arsenic is poisonous. So.
Yeah. So, but basically, I've added this to this slide. We can still do how many mussels would you have to eat, but the federal regulatory is 86. I converted it to micrograms per gram, and these are at, 4. So. Wow.
Lot of mussels.
20, of over mussels. 20 mussels, again. Which, I mean,
actually,
that
that's
you could.
Possible.
That's possible.
That's possible.
Yeah,
very possible.
Mussels.
You could eat 20 mussels. So,
So if you ate mussels every day.
Right. If you ate mussels every day.
So now is organic
and
arsenic as toxic as...
It's not as toxic.
Yeah.
It's like another form.
Yeah.
It's a little less harmful, I think.
The FDA regulatory level is in food products?
For mollusk and shellfish.
Right. So eating 20 of them still doesn't reach that. You're still at 4 micrograms per gram. If you get 100 of them,
the concentration's the same.
Concentration's
right.
The same. So you never reach that.
Right.
So you'd have to know what an actual body burden would be.
That's a good point.
So it's you are 20 times lower, and you will never reach it, basically.
Right.
Under this
Right, because it's not really, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, let's.
So you have to sell it on the other muscles.
Right, what I was saying, you know, they said that, you know, once you hit a total, if you hit a total load of 100 micrograms, then if you ate 25 of them, you would hit it.
You would hit it.
But in this case, it's on a per gram basis. So
that's
you
true.
You don't ever reach that.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Because what if you ever stored in your body?
Yeah, that I don't know. It's possible. I don't think it's one of those compounds that gets stored the way some of the different dynamics do.
That's a good clarification.
Yeah, good catch.
That's good.
Good catch. At any rate.
Continuing on.
Huh?
Continuing on.
So the olive snails, we detected 21. 9 exceeded toxicity reference values for the organism. 6 had no reference. Many of them varied among sites. All of them were higher from collected from Nye Beach than both the reference sites. And so here's just a sampling of all of those. So you can see that the reference organism varies, and that's because people choose to do experiments on different organisms for different metals, and we just pick the most closely related organism or most similar habit. So in one case, it's a snail, but it's a pond snail, so it's a freshwater snail. In another case, we couldn't find one that was a snail, so we went with a sand crab because it's a shellfish that lives in the sand, so similar habitat.
Sort of looks like an olive snail.
So yeah, these.
If you don't have your glasses.
Yeah, you definitely have to take into consideration that this is the closest surrogate we can find, and this is all. These are all levels where you don't see an effect on that organism, and so certainly well below any effect you would have if you made olive snail chowder.
Right. Plus, this is a good example where it gets confounded by all the other things.
Right.
That could be contributing to those.
Oh, yeah.
And what's interesting is you can see if you look at these metals, every one of these graphs is a different shape. So aluminum is skewed to the north, and arsenic maybe is skewed to the south, and barium's a perfect bell. And so it doesn't really seem like there's any one location where they're picking up a lot of metals.
There's no tier.
So if there's no line, it means that there is no. So if no one's done an experiment looking at barium toxicity, I would suspect it's because it's not
too toxic.
Well, they give it to
that's what they used to use to look for all sorts of things.
Yes.
Yeah, they feed you
barium dioxide.
Right. When they're giving you tests and they want to see the exposure, they give you
barium.
Yeah.
Inside your body
snapshots. Yeah. And so then you can see. Now, some things are exceeding toxicity reference values, some things are well below it. Again, no sort of north to south pattern or anything that
we can usually explain. And it's also worth noting these are on the beach,
right?
Not at the mixing zone. Mm-hmm. I know you know that.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's kind of what I was saying. It can be a lot of other sources.
Yeah, so these graphs are not labeled with MZs or anything. It's Nye Beach, North Nye Beach, South Nye Beach, Mulock Beach, Lost Creek Beach, which again, maybe I'll just have a key of acronyms on every slide.
Sarah, I guess maybe you've already answered, but for these previous sites, even though it, as you said, it's right off the beach, so to speak, and there's probably many sources that could be contributing to it. Is separate from the GP outfall issue, is there anything of alarm in any of those levels, separate from whether it's connected to GP or not? Because I'm just thinking about generally, we're always talking about, you know, with the tourism and everything mm-hmm. around Nye Beach and, you know, how safe is it? I'm not even talking about GP right now.
Yeah.
Is there anything of
well,
alarm?
Well, so that's that's our broader
part.
That's
kind of where I'm focusing on Lisa.
So in terms of the specific goals of the study, to see if there were bioaccumulation of effluent farm particles collected from the mixing zone, reference areas, phenolics weren't even detected, PBDs were not detected, PCBs were detected rarely in crabs with no relation to the mixing zone, and metals, no evidence for bioaccumulation associated with the mixing zone greater than reference areas for subtitle. Higher concentrations of some metals were detected in olive snails from the central collection beaches, but this cannot be attributed solely to the GP outfall. No concentrations of organic substances or metals approach levels of concern for human consumption. So these are some of the known issues, which is something that I don't think we need to have as a slide in here, but when I got the feedback from the first draft, some people said, well, we know South Beach is an area of concern, and so should we have chosen a different reference site? And so I just wanted to stick this in here to hear from you guys as to why.
I don't think you had a choice.
No, I didn't. It was prescribed, but
maybe there's tribal.
So back in August, when I submitted the report, and I got reviews back from different people on the task force, and two reviews said, we know South Beach is an area of concern, and I just wanted to know if anyone had any more information as to why we know that, or what we know about it.
It is a dump.
To him, no, right?
I think it's just, I think that if those were came from me, I don't know, but with respect to the CH2ML is the only thing that we have ever seen that pointed to South Beach issues. Obviously, it's elevated there beyond that of other places locally, and that's consistent both in the sediments, in the water, and in the
based on the CH2ML.
If that comment came from me, then that was just. But I think that was the area that we had to. I mean, for the purposes of the study, that's the area we had to use.
Yeah, and I think that's good. I mean, that's even better, probably, that we took a completely different approach, measured something completely different, and found that maybe similar trends.
There is an old dump in South Beach. In other words, some of the very first dredge spoils went out there. And that they aren't doing it anymore.
Yeah.
It's a very old EPA dump.
Of course, the active one is now like by the South mixing zone. So
well,
that would affect.
EPA actually came in.
I'm just trying to think ahead for the council meeting right now. So now we're focusing, obviously, South Beach. We're into kind of a different issue here. But if it's an area of concern, are there any even just questions you can pose just as part of your report as to perhaps what could be some of the contributing factors as to why we're finding these types of things in South Beach? And I know this is not related to the GP thing. I'm just trying to look more broadly. Is there anything you can maybe kind of look more broadly at some of these side issues that might still be, you know, a focus for some folks as to contributing factors in South Beach based on some of the things Charlie can
Well, look, I wonder. The phrase area of concern, I think, is misleading because we haven't seen anything here.
Right, that was.
Like I said, this isn't a slide I want to give to the public. This is just a reminder for me to ask.
To me at all. Unless I want to eat 50 pounds of crab. So to use the phrase area of concern, South Beach reference area is previously observed to have higher concentrations of some of these things than other areas in the study area.
More of a statement than a question.
So it's not an issue. It's really just this study is consistent.
Okay, so the comment came from Frank.
Your comment was a little confusing because it said
the South mixing zone reference area in parentheses South Beach. So I think you don't mean mixing zone. I think you mean South reference area has historically reported as area of concern. So that's what.
Can't tell you what I had for lunch.
Yeah, I think that we wouldn't say.
I think we can spot that.
In future studies, is there a better combination of reference areas to use as baseline?
Okay, so you're taking that the bad, but you used other areas. Okay, so you're comparing an area of concern for GP outfall with a known polluted area. Is that a good reference?
Right, so that how did you context. Know that it was historically a known polluted area?
Yeah, so he dumps his garbage.
How did I know that?
Yeah.
From this panel.
Okay.
Tribal knowledge.
I'll tell you, one of the things that in you touched on it was the biggest people concern that I see people have out of GP outfall is a visual. And you can see something there, and it's suspicious. South Beach, you don't see anything. But it's bad.
Except for Charlie Circle.
Well now, so is it bad?
And it's not necessarily.
Is it bad? I don't know. It's just identifiably, measurably, detectably higher.
It's detectably higher, consistently
across the board for all contaminations.
Right.
I mean, what that tells me is that it is accumulating.
But it's
faster
in trouble.
There. And is that of concern?
Well,
maybe.
But it's not.
Charlie's
it's not. It was
yeah.
for a total of 3 metals across 2 animals.
Is
South Beach was higher.
Is it a
and then in the fish,
risk?
North Yaquina was higher for 1 yeah. analyte. So it wasn't.
Did you expect that just from random?
Yeah, it could
stats.
Be totally random. It's only the fact that for 2 animals in a row, maybe I should mix the slides up so it goes south, north, south.
Well, no, my point is if you look at every single one of the animals that you guys looked at, mm-hmm. and you looked at those across the board with the CH2ML study, they're consistent. Same analytes in tissue, sediment, and water column mm-hmm. at South Beach. So that tells me there's an input there. That's what my concern with that would be. This has nothing really to do with the question that was posed to you guys for this study. This is something, though, that I think, as David mentions, will probably be of interest down the road.
Okay, well, let's...
Can I just... So let me clarify where I was coming from. And, you know, obviously the focus was on the GP outfall. That's where all the funding went to the study that we're looking mm-hmm. at now. But I guess what I'm saying is, and I'm only observing this for the first time, you guys have been involved in this for a number of years, if I'm hearing, and maybe I'm not hearing correctly, that there's another area now that folks might think, well, maybe there's an issue here. Regardless of whether you can reach a conclusion on it, maybe it's just it's good to have a slide at the very end saying, you know what, this wasn't the focus, this wasn't our scope of work, this has nothing to do with GP, but in our research and in our analysis, some other issues may be present that we haven't had the time to look at further. This is just an FYI for you, council, and the community. And just kind of leave it at that.
Well,
I mean, I think that would be a good informational item.
No, I'm done with this project.
No, you know what I'm saying. You're not, I'm just, it's, just more, it's just kind of pointing out things that you didn't
okay,
have
well,
time
me,
to
Okay, well, let me flip something. Through these slides because for as we went through the screening process, for the ones that actually did show differences among sites, in these 2 cases, well, 3 cases, the South Beach reference was highest. But again, that's out of like hundreds of comparisons, and one time the North Yaquina reference was highest. And so part of the broader context that the task force asked me to do was to look at everything we detected in our favorite seafood creature, the Dungeness crab, and compare it to human health levels. So this is that broader context I've been promising you. So now, if we look at all the things that we detected in Dungeness crab, you can see that, okay, for arsenic, actually, north mixing zone was the highest, but there weren't significant differences among sites. And then for cadmium, the South Beach reference is not a problem.
So Sarah, you should, if there's no significant difference, you shouldn't even say that the north mixing zone is highest.
That's true.
Right. Yeah.
Technically, it's not.
Right.
So
so
the point is, so I just brought that up because the comment was made in Frank's review. My message isn't that there's something wrong with South Beach, because it was just in, after all those screening steps, like 3 metals across 2 organisms was it
right.
the highest.
Taking into account that if I just looked at, 137 different analytes? total?
Yeah. And then of the ones that were detected and of the ones that showed differences among sites. So it's not that, like, everything we detected was higher South Beach.
I guess it's not too surprising to see some things collect there if you look at before and after the South Jetty. Yeah.
But what she's saying, Jim, is that these data don't even show that that's what's happening.
Yeah. Right. But I'm saying...
It wouldn't be surprising if we'd found higher levels at the GPF fault. We would have said, it's not surprising that we found higher levels at the
GPF
fault.
Of three things out of
if we'd found higher levels north of Yaquina Head, we might have wondered what was going on there. Yeah. But, you know, maybe something was leaching out of the ship that wrecked in Boiler Bay. Who knows? So this is really interpreting, saying that there are differences among sites in the study. It's very, you can't really say that.
No.
So in your conclusion, and I certainly don't have the words for this, but the way you just described and we discussed, you know, back it's only two or three out of hundreds of samples.
Yeah, we could say, you know,
thing,
out of
I think will help bring home to the public that it's more of a random event
times six
than an actual...
Right, 20 different samples.
Yeah, I think an executive.
So out of 810 permutations.
Right. You could do a chi-square.
Are you saying that essentially because of the number of analytes, it's insignificant because there's only three or four of them?
Well, what I'm saying is...
Because to me that's like saying, well, out of 140 fish in this ecosystem, these three or four don't matter that they're different here than everywhere else. I mean, I think
it's not saying they don't matter. It's saying that there's not a strong pattern to point out that South Beach is the particular finger place you want to point.
Even with the CH2 and Pivotal data.
Well, we haven't done those comparisons, and you could maybe very well be that you could come up with saying that, you know, what is it, you know, vanadium and
zinc and
right. If those, you know, three metals show up higher there, that's still not saying that there's an issue with South Beach for those three metals being slightly elevated.
Can I ask a quick question? So, Sarah, I'm just trying to think ahead, like Mark, for the public and the council. Do you think there's anything you can do as the researcher in your conclusions that would suggest, you know, the different samples and the comparisons, you know, the low number that you found versus the number of samples? But also, in your mind, are there any, at least, questions that still you would like some answers on that you haven't been able to answer? And I'm not talking about GP anymore, I'm just talking about the broader context. Are there any questions in your mind that are left unanswered that would probably get answered if you had more time and effort to analyze or collect more samples? Or do you feel, as the researcher, there aren't really any questions left unanswered based on the data you have in front of you?
Based on the data I have in front of me, I'm not seeing any trends that I would want to pursue further.
That would be nice to have something like that in the executive summary, because that at least hones in on your point of view as the researcher we've contracted out with. And I think having that up front as part of the overall analysis is helpful, just not just for the council, but for the public at large, and also for anyone else that's interested in this issue. So I guess I'm trying to think, is there anything more you can do with the executive summary beyond just the data that might be more broadly related to some conclusions that maybe you can reach even on a preliminary level?
Yeah, and just something to think about. Trends. Use the word trends.
Trends, whatever it is, you know, I'm just trying to get as much out of this as possible, given your expertise in the data. And we have you for the next couple months to put this together.
Actually, you haven't had me for the past 2 months. We're all working for free now. So.
Okay, well, I won't say anymore.
So, Charlie, I mean, I see what you're saying, like, that you are concerned that we're saying they don't matter, but, I mean, when you see...
But it doesn't matter for this report. I mean, for the purposes of this study, it doesn't matter.
Well, but even in a more general sense, so vanadium showed up twice as higher at South Beach. So it showed up for the crabs and it showed up for the shrimp, and then... zinc showed up for the shrimp. But again, look at
but
that.
That's, I mean, not significant.
It is significant. I mean, there are significant differences among sites. There, yeah. This one is significantly more than this one. And so, you know, out of... That to me does not suggest concern for South Beach if there are two metals, and one of them in two cases, and one of them in one case, is higher. I mean, this graph would certainly not give me pause. I mean, maybe vanadium, because it did show up in two animals, and in both cases it's kind of dramatically, but again, lots of variability.
Yeah, and we don't really need to get into this. This is beyond your paid time, that's clear. I have other reasons why I would be concerned about where things may be coming from and getting into a lot of there than how much vanadium's in a crab. There's other reasons, there's other recreational values there, and I would think that some of our members would want to pursue and know more about that. But that has nothing to do with this, and we can...
Right. Yeah, I would say that the data that I'm presenting, I don't feel like suggests we...
She's leaving us.
She has to leave us.
Time management.
You're down.
Well, I was just going to offer, too. In that same vein, David, you started asking earlier about whether there are other things we should be concerned about. And, you know, clearly when you get to looking at the intertidal samples, and we admit that there's an awful lot of other influences, yeah, there's a real possibility there that some of that stuff should be looked at, but it's totally outside
the scope. We did that because you guys asked. And so we compared the muscle data to Muscle Watch. And the caveats is, you know, the Muscle Watch data are old. And they're collected from way up here and then up high in Yaquina Bay. But it does provide nice bounds, so one far upland upstream and then one open coast. And so basically what we did here is the middle bars are our studies, and then there's Fogarty Creek and Yaquina Bay, just to put our findings in context of...
Right. It's more, you're going to have your findings with respect to the scope of what this task force was, but it'd be nice to also, if you have the ability, to at least know if there might be some other issues of interest that folks may want to explore in the future. And just kind of leave it at that, and the folks will be able to make their choices.
What is A and B?
Okay, so what these letters over the bars indicate is what are statistically the same and what are statistically different. And so anything that has the same letter is statistically the same. So all four of these bars are the same, and these two bars are statistically the same as this one. So it's a little, I mean, it takes some thinking. But basically, what you could learn from this is that our reference sites were higher than the Muscle Watch site at Fogarty Creek, but actually the Nye Beach samples weren't.
Okay, so that's a study outside of this whole sphere.
Yeah, it's a comparison. Yeah. Somebody else's.
Maybe other than saying an issue of concern, you can say a potential issue of interest. Yeah. Something like that. It's not
something
a concern, but it could be of interest.
Yeah, using the word
outside of the scope.
Okay, I'm just going to... I'm just deleting it because it's not... Yes. I'm not presenting it. It was just for us to have a conversation. So it's gone. There are no areas or issues of concern.
Right.
There aren't any issues of interest.
Okay, well,
as far as I'm concerned.
There's no issues completely. Okay.
This is a microcosm with that meeting.
That's fine. Right.
Okay.
I'm trying to help you out.
So are we about wrapped up, or?
Yeah, so I mean, all of this you've seen before, but David hasn't, and so he was asking if we have looked at our studies in comparison to other things, and so yes, we have already.
No, I think someone. Are you talking about the CH2?
No, you were asking if we could.
That's a lot.
If we could talk about our findings in the context of other things, and this is it.
Okay.
So, but everyone on the task force has already seen it. It was only for you, so we're done. Okay.
Got it. I'll look at it later.
So we did that. We did the comparisons with Muscle Watch, and then you guys also asked me to specifically look at crab. So even though we didn't see differences across sites in crabs, I still took everything we did detect and compared it to human health levels. So,
keep on eating crab.
That's the answer. That's the whole purpose of the study.
So one crab from the North Mixing Zone did have cadmium levels.
Don't eat that.
That met, basically just barely met the FDA regulatory level. Copper, not even on the charts. Selenium, not on the charts. Zinc, barely on the charts. So that was the
conclusion. Go buy some crab, right?
And I didn't put the conclusions on this slide yet for the public presentation because I wanted to get the feedback from all of you.
All right, that's good. Very
so,
good.
It's very good.
Yeah,
thank you.
So where do you intend to stop the presentation? Like, are you going to go?
Well, so we've got, I mean, basically there's two potential stopping points. There's the conclusions that we went over that are just based on the goals of the study. So the goals of the study is there a bioaccumulation associated with GP. Basically the conclusion is no. Mm-hmm. So we can stop there. Mm-hmm. But we've got all the muscle watch comparisons we can do, and we've got the Dungeness crab human health comparisons we can do if people desire.
Does the council entertain additional talking points after? Yeah, I mean, I think that stopping point defines the scope of work.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be this, well, due diligence. Did you do this? Did you do this? And then you can say, well, by golly, we did. Any other questions?
Well, I'm only speaking for myself.
Okay.
And Matt, Mark, you know, we're kind of both here, but we're not speaking here for the council.
Yeah.
I like asking questions, as many of you probably know. So I would probably ask after you come to these conclusions, Sarah, based on the data that you accumulated, are there any other issues or any other things that you would want to bring to our attention to at least consider or at least have out there for the public to be aware of? And then you can maybe go into that additional data, knowing fully well it has nothing to do with the scope of work of this task force, but since you did the work and you have some separate things you could provide the council, I and maybe some others on the council might answer those questions. So well, I guess from my standpoint, it might be helpful to be ready for it.
And the thing is, what you just showed us is another set of more or less reassuring data that if you can choke down 55 pounds of crab, you're okay.
Crab shells and all.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, okay.
Yeah.
You know, which is, it never hurts.
Yeah. So did we cover what we wanted to cover tonight? Or
I had some feedback, and so one suggestion was in the executive summary to delete the bullets. So I just grayed them out so you guys would know that was what you were supposed to think about. And this gets back to, it's very similar to the blue box question, which is these bullets talk about the metals that had differences among sites, but in almost every case it was a reference site that was higher. And so does having these bullets in the executive summary that talks about the highlights these metals give them more credit than they're due, because some people are only going to read the executive summary and then they're going to be like, oh, mm-hmm. vanadium and zinc. And so I'm inclined to maybe take them out and just have the executive summary say that we didn't detect a bunch of these things and everything else, there were no differences.
Keep them in the presentation but out of the
society. Yeah. Okay. I think
that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, good. So there's that.
Did we vote on that?
But I'm just, these conclusions should be, are they in the, I can't remember how well they reflected
In the executive summary, I say there were no elevated levels of PCBs, phenolic compounds, or PVDs.
Right.
So that's basically the first three bullets. And then
I'm concerned about public reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And that last sentence there, no concentrations of organic substances or metals approached levels of concern for human consumption. That would be an appropriate last sentence for your executive summary.
Okay, so I have it in the last paragraph in bold. It's not actually the last sentence.
Oh, okay.
It's in the updated version, but it's pretty close.
On the other hand, you
have
organic substances, so maybe organic contaminants
would
be.
Okay.
I mean, what else are we eating?
Right, good point. Good point.
Sarah, I'm just curious. In your executive summary, I know this slide presentation is separate, but that slide printed out and made an attachment to your executive summary would be a really nice thing. Because it's bullet points, people can refer to it, it's easily read and understandable. Maybe you can insert it in your executive summary, or maybe you can make it a part of it, but that really, to me, is a really nice slide.
Just keep it one pager?
Yeah, one pager slide. I mean, just really good. So.
It'll be part of the press release. I'll make that.
Ooh, that works.
So then one of the other suggestions was in the table one, where I had each, how much we detected across on average. So for, I did bring eight copies, so if the task force members want to look at this little packet.
Well, I probably will leave, and you guys can talk all night.
Okay.
Drive
well,
careful.
Not true. That's not
we just
true.
Have to turn this off and put it back on your desk.
Yes, I'll leave my office open and I will lock the back door.
Oh, yeah, you can have this one. I can work off my original. So. One question was to add more detail about if it was detected not just in the GP effluent but in other places. So we have if it was detected in the GP effluent in the wastewater treatment plant and in the sediment based on the CH2M Hill report. So if that is helpful to have those referenced and anything that is blank is not.
Start
the executive summary.
I like this table better than this one.
Okay.
Is this the table one that you replaced this one?
No. That is the table in the appendix. So, yeah, table one.
One table one.
And so there were.
They were their sweater.
Not here. Or,
yes.
No, she'll be back. Oh, I see. Okay.
So it's basically just added some columns, and before I had estimated, and now I've distinguished whether it was estimated because it was below the reporting limit or below the detection. So that is a update to that table. Let's see. Actually, I didn't make any changes to table two, but I just gave it to you for completeness. Well, I added the rock scallops. It's about the only update to table two. Table three got updated because I realized that for some reason copper wasn't in it. So that was a mistake on our part. And then table four, similarly, I didn't have room to make three columns, so I have a column that says present in effluents, and then I have GP, wastewater treatment, and NIE in there. So if that's, so for example, zinc was less than the reporting limit in the GP effluent detected in the wastewater treatment plant and less than the reporting limit from NIE Creek. For the curious, they don't want to dig out the sewer. And so tables four and five are structured the same. It's just subtitle versus intertidal organisms. So those are the sort of structural updates. And then of course the rock scalloping are added.
No.
Excuse
me, I'm sorry.
No, I had no idea. I would never have guessed that. No, our dates are somewhere around the 19th of May. But
okay, well, she was saying
it. Basically, I think it sounds great. It's all fine and not to worry.
A lot of technical detail where needed. The big thing is the barrage of questioning, but I thought it was pretty thorough.
Hopefully you'll make them all speechless.
So, are there any other questions or concerns? Did we cover everything? Okay.
My comment it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, is that you should work with somebody. I know you're working for free, but at OSU to write it for, you know, communicate sites.
He already
said Scott did.
Yeah, and like I said, Mark Floyd's been very interested in telling this story.
So, okay, that's good.
So get him to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Mark, he's one of the OSU media people, writes a lot of our press releases on the science side of things.
Oh, okay.
That's really good. So the next thing is we're trying to target what date we can present this to council.
Yeah.
And so we determined that 5/5 may be a little too close, the 5th of May. I think it was your birthday. No.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so, or the 19th. Would be the two earliest dates.
Yeah, the 19th, that's like more than a month from now.
That's
a Monday. Totally
Monday.
Fine.
And
what time does that start?
5:30.
5:30.
No, 7?
6.
I would put 5:30 on my calendar. I'm going to be here.
Okay. You might get a little early.
Bring a razor.
As we get closer to that meeting, Peggy will be able to.
Oh,
meeting.
The council starts at 6.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll be able
army
is
always high about 30.
So, and the rest of the task force is not required to be there, but if it's a calendaring issue or whatever. But if you could be there on the 19th, is that what you're agreeing to?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can all be there because Peggy will notice it as a joint meeting of the council and the task force. So more than, you know, a quorum of the task force or more can be there.
Okay.
If they want to watch or even say, you know, in the past, we encourage and like task force members to talk about the process they went through.
The journey,
and
sure.
Just anything. No. So, I mean, that's really helpful for us to hear back from the task force members. Okay. If you want to be there, you don't
there's
have
no
to.
There's no contrary
there.
Comments to, you know, the committee report.
Well, that's not. I'm talking more about just.
Okay. So the 19th, it's at 6 o'clock. And then, I don't know, do you have time management? Is it a 1 hour? Based on what you took questions and answers during it, but it was about a 30 to 45 minute presentation.
Yeah, some of it I really glossed over. So I would say an hour.
Okay,
an
hour. So.
I'll mention that.
When are you going to have the last draft, I guess, or the final report?
Yeah, so I have fully updated the report to include all these new data, and so basically feedback after this meeting, I can update it pretty quickly. So we can set a date that you guys want it.
Wait,
oh,
the presentation
draft?
For the city.
Yeah, but when do you guys want the final paper, the 70 pages of paper?
You could reach out to Peggy, so she has to publish it do her own deal.
Get with Peggy.
Peggy's the contact person for getting all the documents out to the task force, the council, and the public.
Okay.
Does the council have a lead time that they want? In other words, they don't want to get it on the 18th.
Well, I would assume if Sarah finalizes the report, what Peggy would usually do is she'll post it on the city website. Mm-hmm. She'll send us a link as a council and as a task force. And usually, if you know, Sarah gets it, in advance of the council meeting, the council members and the public will have a chance to look at it,
I think 4 weeks in advance is still gets me to the end of next week for me to get it to Peggy. So that seems
plenty of time.
No problem.
Yeah. Plenty of time.
Well, other people get to look over it.
Similar, right? Yeah, okay.
And, Mark's the liaison, and, I was here, and one of us can mention at the next council meeting that this report's coming soon, and so people can at least get ready to look at it and get, have their questions for it.
Okay. I was just thinking, it's like, start getting in anticipation and stuff.
The reason I'm bringing that up is...
Well, maybe
5 years ago there was a lot of discussion about this, and I was around when it was happening, and I think people have kind of maybe not forgotten about it.
But this report
is a culmination of a lot of issues yeah, that were discussed set up very publicly mind, 6 years ago.
And it was based on fear, uncertainty, and doubt, and now that's answers.
So I think it's incumbent upon the city to make sure everyone in the community is aware of this report, given the circumstances of why this report was put together 6 years ago.
Yeah, so I think we'll have the media office maybe reach out to the task force, and Mark can get some of the backstory so that when he writes the press release, it includes some of that.
Well, what I think can could work, what could work really well is to, if we can coordinate it,
yes,
have the distribution of your press release coincide with the report being available on the city.
Yeah, website. I think those should be concurrent.
So then you could just say right in the press release, right, you know, for a copy of this, boom. And then there's no, you know, confusion or anything else.
Yeah. I mean, I can submit it to Peggy and she could distribute it to the task force before that, but I think before it goes on the website, the press release should be ready to go
really
with
good
it.
Way to do
it.
Can we as task force members discuss this with the media individually?
I would say what normally happens, obviously you can, what normally happens is when an item hits the council, the media is usually looking for all of you people who attend that night,
right,
ask questions and dig into more detail.
But if they're preparing a press release,
but if it comes out after the press release,
and the OSU guy calls me on the phone, am I free to?
The only thing I would suggest is, you know,
like
Mark's idea is good. OSU does the press release.
Right.
At the same time in which this report is ready to go and hit the city website,
right,
we can coordinate that. But once that occurs, and once, I guess, it becomes more of a public issue, because it has been kind of under the radar for several years, we can either have a contact person here at the city, or OSU can have their own contact person, maybe you, Sarah, or someone else. So in case there's media requests or someone here in the local media wants to get some follow-up information, rather than going to each task force member and putting you in that kind of responsibility, I think, in my view, having the researcher and the person who put the information together, like Sarah or some other professor at OSU, would be the more appropriate contact person. And of course, GP would have their own contact person to answer any questions. So, I mean, it's really up to each entity to kind of work that out.
Well, and there's really two questions. It's what would be the best way to do it, and then there's what are you allowed to do.
Right.
Yeah, that's the
allowed to do, there's no way that the city is going to put a gag order on members of the... Well, and I mean that
in a generous way. We've got the meeting rules where I can't sit down with Frank and talk with him about this over Starbucks.
Yeah. Yeah. If I was a task force member, I would probably refer my questions to Sarah.
Unless Sarah
had referred it to.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, that's in terms of the media, but I also heard Pete ask, so if Mark Floyd from OSU, who's making the press release, wants to talk individually to task force members,
that's what you're asking.
But I'm just saying... Because he works for a federal agency where sometimes the answer is no.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I'm not speaking to that part of it.
The OSU person wanting to contact task force members is a great idea.
Close the meeting?
So, I just wrap it up. So the next steps are, we're scheduled the 19th, press release, publish the study and executive report, and we'll see you on the 19th.
Great.
So, meeting is adjourned.
Really good job.
Fantastic. Hey.